I'm going to read one verse. You've been standing a while. I want to read one verse and you're here and I'll let you be seated. Exodus 3:16. Exodus 3:16 said, go. The Lord is talking to Moses. He said, go and gather the elders of Israel together and say unto them, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Jacob, appeared unto me, saying, I have surely, surely visited you and seen that which is done to you in Egypt. Hallelujah. Lord, I come before you this morning. I'm glad you got an ever-seeing eye. Hallelujah, that you see what your children go through, but you're waiting for them to cry out to you, Lord. I'm glad, God, you have feelings now. You took on a body of flesh and you have feelings that you can feel for the infirmities of your people, God. And I'm asking you this morning, there's broken hearts here. There's broken the one thing and another, but God, you can put it all back together and you saw it from the beginning. Be with us this morning as we endeavor to study your word in Jesus' name. God bless you. You may be seated. Thank you for yielding to the Spirit of the Lord. If we don't yield to the Spirit, we're not going anywhere. Because the Spirit of the Lord, he said, is a guide. That's what it is. It's a guide. If you don't follow the guide, you're not going anywhere. So he tells Moses, he said, I want you to go tell the people that I surely have seen what Egypt. Egypt is a type of the world. So I'm preaching to you. I'm not preaching to Israel today. I'm preaching to you. And I've got a word for more than one of you today to help you. The Lord is telling Moses to go tell them, let them know I saw what the world did to you. Yeah. Let them know that maybe no one else knows what the world did to you, but I saw what the world did to you. And I have said, we're going to continue reading, I have said, I will bring you up out of the affliction of Egypt unto the land. See, I'm going to bring you up, I'm going to bring you out, and I'm going to bring you unto. But you're never going to get out and unto till you get up. You get up, I'll bring you out, and when I bring you out, I'll bring you unto. All right? I'm going to bring you into the land of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites, unto a land flowing with milk and honey. Lord, that was a land that was full of trouble. That was a land that was strong and mighty and giants. And I'm going to bring you to a land that has all these people and it flows with milk and honey. It looked like a conflict of interest to me. Bringing me to a land that flows with milk and honey, how are we going to get that milk and honey? And they shall hearken to thy voice, and thou shalt come, thou and the elders of Israel, unto the king of Egypt. And ye shall say unto him, the Lord God of the Hebrews hath met with us, and now let us go, we beseech thee, 3 days' journey into the wilderness, that we may sacrifice to the Lord our God. I am sure that the king of Egypt will not let you go. Go ask him, but I'm telling you, he's going to say no. Not by a mighty hand. Ah, but I will stretch out my hand. His hand may be mighty, but he hasn't seen my hand. I will stretch out my hand and I will smite Egypt with all my wonders, which I will do in the midst thereof. And after that, he'll be glad to let you go. And I will give this people, these Egyptian people, favor. I'll give Israel favor in the sight of the Egyptians. And it shall come to pass that when ye go, ye shall not go empty. Woo, that's exciting. Got favor, and I'm not going out empty. But every woman shall borrow of her neighbor and of her that sojourneth in her house jewels. These are poor people. These are slaves. This is a dream. Wake me up. Jewels of silver, jewels of gold, and raiment. And ye shall put them upon your sons and upon your daughters, and ye shall spoil the Egyptians. There's going to be so much. You came in like this, you're going to walk out like this. I'm going to burden you with a different burden. I'm going to burden you with a different burden than you came in with. I want to preach for a little while. You're not coming out of this empty. You're not coming out of this I refuse to go through something and not come out with something. I refuse to let the enemy say I was victorious over you and try. I'm coming out with something. We got to remember how the children of Israel got there. Do you remember there was a famine in the land, and Abraham and his folks did live in that area for a while, but the famine hit that country too. And it forced them to go to the only place that had corn and wine and food. It was the Egypt. Why was the Egyptians flourishing and everybody else failing? Oh, there was a man named Joseph. There was a man named Joseph that was already there waiting for the day they came, and then he didn't know it either. But the Lord already had his man there, and he was so wise. And the Bible said he had what? Favor. He had favor with God. And the Lord was with Joseph. And as long as Joseph was there, daddy and mama and all the brothers were taken care of. They were not slaves. As long as Joseph was there. But there arose a Pharaoh that knew not the God of Joseph. And the favor turned. The favor dried up. And these bunch of people that had multiplied now become really good slaves to these Egyptian people. So it looked like, wow, God brought us in here to save us. It doesn't look like that. Now, I want to just tell you as a prelude to this sermon, you remember the woman whose name was Naomi? You remember Naomi? She lived in Bethel, which was called the House of Bread. And she goes to Moab to sojourn because she said, I don't have enough at the house of God. And she leaves there and with her husband and goes into this land of Moab to sojourn in the world. Right? Moab was likened to the world. And while she's there, her two sons marry two Moabitess women. We know the story. My point is this, that when she left, she said, I came in full, but I'm leaving empty. Don't call me Naomi anymore, which means my joy, but rather call me Mara, which means bitterness, for the Lord God Almighty hath dealt bitterly with me. Well, it wasn't God that left Bethel. It was her. She left on her own free will. God is great at taking mistakes that you make and making something good come out of it, right? Can you say amen? He's great because the Bible says the clay was marred in the potter's hands. Thank God Naomi was still in his hands, because out of Naomi's relationship came a woman named Ruth, and out of Ruth she married Boaz, and then we have the Christ. So God is a master of taking mistakes that happen in the world and what the world does to you and even what you do to yourself and making good come out of it. But this woman, out of her own choice and volition, leaves the house of bread and goes out full. Sometimes you don't know how full you are till you really hit empty. What's the old saying? You didn't miss the water till the well went dry. We need to thank the Lord every day. I try to, and this sounds crazy to y'all, but I said it this morning. I tied my tie by myself. I didn't have any tubes running out my nose, and I'm not laying in a stretcher somewhere. I thank God this morning. Every morning I get up and I button up. I go, thank you, Lord. I can still do this myself, because the day come, you know, the Bible said, he told Peter, they'll lead you where you don't want to go. So you better be thankful. Oh, Lord, for what you do have, because sometimes when it runs out, then you're all of a sudden you wish you had that little back. See, the main thing that God is looking for is how you manage what he's already given you. Write that down. That's a good say. That's good. Right. I see you got a pen. Okay, I'm going to say it again. The main thing that God is looking for is how you manage what you have already been given. Why give you any more if you don't manage what you already have? We are called to be good stewards. Look at all the parables. You look at the parable of the sower all the way to the parable of the talents. It was all about managing the one talent, managing the five talents, managing the two talents. It's managing what you have been given and not trying to manage what you don't have. Because he wants to give you what? More. It is his desire to give you more. But if you mismanage what he has given you, why would he give you more? He's not. And there's too many times that we mismanage what God has given us because we can't handle the frustration of circumstances. We can't handle the frustration of our circumstances, so we mismanage. So, you know, you can live for God anywhere. Did you know out of the belly of the whale, Jonah cried out unto the Lord? Do you know in prison, Paul and Silas sang songs unto the Lord? Do you know on the cross, a man said, named Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do? And here we are, no bonds. We've been set free. We've been delivered. I'm not worried about ISIS right here, right now, but you better watch out. They don't have me handcuffed, me bending over. And I'd be crying, Jesus, 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 you get me home, Lord. I'll give you everything I got. I'll give you, Lord, it's all yours anyway. Lord, I'll be a missionary. You start making promises when you get in binds. But when you're flourishing, who is God? Right? We forget God when times are good. But we get frustrated with the circumstances that surrounds us. And we get so frustrated with the circumstances, we mismanage what God has given us. Blaming it the world and blaming it for this one and that one. Why you can't live for God? Why did he give me just one talent? I'm not as good as the one that he gave two. I'm not as good as the one he gave five. No, you handle your one. You handle your one. And don't worry about the two and the five. Because where much is given, much is required. Where little is given, little is required. You just manage your one. And quit worrying about the two and the five. Because they got to be responsible just like you do. And he mismanaged the one. So what did he do? He took it away from him and gave it to the one who did not mismanage the five. Oh, we need to be careful lest we not, if we mismanage what God has given us, we will not increase. You will not go any higher. And so many times we think that, I would be better if I didn't have this, if I didn't have that. Can I tell you what trouble makes you do? It teaches you stability. Write this down. Boy, I'm glad somebody got it. No profitability until there's stability. Now, no profitability until there's stability. So you can plant a little tree. And Lord, I planted, where's Brother Buddy? Oh, he gave me, how many trees did you give me? A couple hundred, huh? Maybe. I planted all those trees in one evening. I'm a machine, you didn't know that. One evening. But you plant that little tree there, and you don't prop it up, you don't water it, you don't stabilize it. And the wind comes and whips it and all that. It's still got little roots in there, but it's never profitable because it's not stable. But once it is stable, I don't know how many trees, brother, my yard man has killed with a weed eater. A weed eater. And when they're young, that bark is tender. And one time I saw a little tree I'd planted, it was dying. And I'm like, why is it dying? I've been watering it and I've been fertilizing. Why is it dying? And he had mulch around it. That scamp. It don't work for me anymore. I pulled that mulch back. That weed eater had gone around that tree and killed all that bark. He put that mulch back over it so I wouldn't see it. The Lord revealed it to me, though. I pulled that mulch back, and it was dead because he had hit that weed eater and it went around that little old tree. But let me tell you something. Some of those same trees I replanted, now they got big bark. They're this big. Now get your weed eater out. I'll wear your weed eater out trying to... That's right. You'll break all your string trying to cut my tree down. But when it was young and it was tender, it needed stability. Now it's producing and it can withstand the elements. And so what God does, he puts you in an environment. You better learn to be stable in the environment you're in. Don't tell me you can't live for God because of this going on and that going on. God will always make a way. He'll always make a way that you can be stable and live for him. It's not his will that you not live for him. Now, Too many times people close their eyes to reality because they want to blame their circumstances why they can't live for God. They want to close their eyes to reality, and this is Bagot talking, and they have what I call blindness in part. Like the Jews, blindness in part. You see, they have blindness in part because they could see what they need to do, but they refuse to see it. Having eyes, they see not. Having ears, they hear not. Not because they didn't have eyes, but because they chose not to see it. I don't see that. The truth is, any Jew who looks at what we believe could see it. They don't open their eyes. So they have blindness in part. And so many times with our circumstances, we're not careful, we close our eyes to the reality of why we're in the shape we're in and never change ourselves into what we need to be. And we have blindness in part. My job today is to open up your eyes. David said this to the Lord. He said, lighten mine eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. I've learned that people will believe what they want to believe. Can anybody say amen? You're going to believe the story you want to believe. Anybody can tell a story about somebody else, and you're going to believe what you want to believe. That's what you're going to believe, what you want to believe. When the 10 spies came back with a bad report and 2 came back with a good report, which one did they believe? The one they wanted to believe. You can believe what you want. People say, well, I don't believe that. Well, I might as well leave. There's no need wasting my time. You have got to be open to believe. Believing is a choice. It is a choice you have to believe or not to believe. I'm teaching these students here, and they had a choice to believe in me teaching them what I'm teaching them. Or they can close their eyes to it and see it, but close your eyes to it. Jesus rebuked people that closed their eyes and did not. They were slow to believe. In fact, he was walking down the road with 2 people after his resurrection down the road of Emmaus, right? And there's 2 people, and Jesus kind of just joins them as they're walking. And he says, what are y'all talking about? He said, oh, have you not heard about this man? And he was such a good man. We had thought he would be the Savior. We had thought he would be our Redeemer. Oh, but he's dead, and, you know, he's gone, and he was a good man. And there was the resurrection walking with them. And he told them, oh, fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have said. Fools don't believe anything. Slow of heart takes too long and it passes you by. The ones that Jesus healed believe quickly. Let me tell you, if you wait too long to believe, you won't believe. If you wait too long and analyze it and think about it, well, I'm just going to pray about it. You'll pray too long. Believe it or not. Wasn't that what Ripley said? And you'll believe what you want to believe. Receiving is all about believing first. You cannot receive what you do not believe. If you don't believe in the Holy Ghost, you can't receive it. If you don't believe in speaking in tongues, you'll never speak in tongues. If you don't believe in healing, you will never be healed. You've got to believe to first receive. God told Moses, I'm going, to gather up the elders, all of Israel, and say unto them that the Lord God of your fathers has appeared unto me, saying, I have surely visited you and seen what the world, Egypt, has done unto you. And I will bring you up out of this affliction that you're in into a land that flows with milk and honey. I like that part, that flowing. I don't like affliction. How many of you like affliction? Lord, I don't like affliction. I like milk and honey. I like things that are sweet. I like things that are new. I like the song that said, fall fresh on me. I like the freshness of the Holy Ghost. And I'm just trying to help somebody today and let you know that God has seen what somebody did to you. God has seen what the world did to you. Hallelujah. He's not forgotten that. He's not forgotten. And I'm here to tell you that God is going to bring you out like he brought the children of Israel out. And when you come out, you will not come out empty. I said, you won't come out empty. See, the problem with church people is they don't know when to shout. No, they don't know when to shout. You see, how many of you, I know we just do it like this, ever saw the show, you can do it like this if you want to, that Bob Barker used to say, what's that? What's the name of that show? Y'all help me? Price is Right. Boy, y'all all knew that. That was in one accord right there. Wonder how that happened. Price is Right. And he'd say, they'd say, where the next contestant is, Deborah Monso. And you hadn't even won anything. You haven't even won anything. You hadn't even answered the question. And I'm here to tell you that you're going to come out not empty. You're going to come out with great substance. You're going to come out with the wealth of Israel. And people say, okay, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, hallelujah. You see, the children of this world are wiser than you are. Hallelujah. Good, huh? Price is Right. Oh, Lord, help put a zeal inside of us to believe what is Oh, fool and slow of heart to believe all that the preacher is saying. The reason preaching don't work for most people is they don't believe it. They're too slow to believe it. They're too slow to believe it. Now, he told Israel, he said, I see what you're going through. Now, I'm going to tell you something. Like he told Israel, but it may get worse before it gets better. Because you're going to go say, let my people go. And he's going to say, oh no. And you're going to go through hell on earth at the hands of this man and the hands of your enemies. You're going to be so glad to get out. Whew, I'm going to make you glad to get out. I'll stretch forth my hand and I'm going to show my mighty wonders. And I'm here to tell somebody, God knows how to stretch out his hand and change your situation just like that. Oh yeah, just like that. And what you thought could never happen, like the Red Sea opening, just like that, it opened up. But it may get worse before it gets better. Can you still hang in there with the anger and well, I thought you told me we could go. Because he'd tell them, you can go, and then he'd go get them. Yeah, you can go, and he'd go get them. Frustrating. Frustrating. That doesn't mean you need to quit saying, let my people go. Right? Because what did they want to do? Worship the Lord. And what do you want to do? Worship the Lord. Hallelujah. But what he's going to do, he's going to take the favor and turn it. God said that after he gets through all of his wonders, I will give you favor in the sight of the people that hate you. So you're not catching this part. I'm going to give you such favor in the sight of the people that hate you that they're now going to help you. The very people that hated you are going to help you. Now, that may not seem right, but let me tell you, they're going to be glad to see you go. That one time, they would have given you hell on earth and angry and mad, and now they're like, okay, well, you can go. That's fine. Here, take some more of this. Take that. Take my house. Take my land. Take that. Just go. Just go. The favor turned. When God returns the favor. Oh, that's a sermon right there. When God returns the favor. And so when they get ready to go, see the sure sign, now listen close, the sure sign that they were fixing to go was when the favor turned. It wasn't even the midnight cry when all the babies were getting destroyed. That wasn't it. But when the favor turned, see, I read you the prelude to the whole story here in Deuteronomy. He said, when the favor turns, you'll know it's time. Go to your neighbor and say, you got any silver over here? Yeah, here, take this. Got any gold? Yeah, I'll take, hey, you got some more over there. Well, take all of it. I don't care. Get rid of it. What you got in your closet? I need some clothes. He said, you're going to take gold and silver and raiment. And don't forget that. Because guess what didn't wear out in the wilderness? See, he didn't tell them take bread, because he was the bread. He didn't tell them take water, because he could get the water out of the rock. He could throw a stick into the bitter water and make it sweet. He didn't tell them take sunscreen, because I'm going to be, I'll be your heater, I'll be your air conditioner, I'll be your cloud, I'll be all those things. The only thing I want you to take is raiment and the jewels. Because you're going to walk in those clothes for 40 years. They didn't know that then, but Jesus, God did. And so that's all they needed. And they walked out, and they had so much stuff, sister. They put it on the backs of their children. Silver and gold and suitcases of clothes. Hallelujah. And they were glad to see them go. See, somebody may promote you just to get rid of you. That's right. I'm going to promote you. I'm going to move you to another school because I can't stand you. And when they do, they're glad to see you go. Hallelujah. I'll take the ones that was against you. Are you still with me this morning? And turn them in your favor. And that's a sign. That's a sign. It's time to get out. When the favor turns, it's time to get out. Because they had lost their favor. Because there arose a Pharaoh that knew not the God of Joseph. But the favor was turning. And when they walked out with the wealth of Egypt. Does not the scripture say the wealth of the wicked is laid up for the righteous? And they were just going, give me my stuff. Give me my stuff. See, they were polishing it for them all these years, not knowing it's my stuff. And while Egypt accumulated all the wealth, Israel walked out with it. As they come this morning, I am here to tell somebody in the fear of the Almighty God, you will not come out of this empty. You will not come out of this empty. Come on down. Hallelujah. There's no reason to give up. There's no reason to quit because your better days are ahead of you and not behind you. Woo! Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Clap your hands to the Lord. Hallelujah. Woo! Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Bible lets us know they walked out, Brother Valentine, with all that silver and all that gold. Tell me where they used that gold. Tell me where they used that silver beyond the calf they shouldn't have made. What? Solomon's temple. Solomon's temple. He took all of that gold and all of that silver and they packed it around all the way. They were the wealthiest bunch of people there was. They're still spending it today, by the way. They haven't spent it all yet. Hallelujah. But they built, watch, a temple for the Lord. And what you've gone through, and you, and you, and you, it's all about building a temple for the Lord. It's all, he said, I'm going to let you take that out because we're going to use this to build a temple for me. And what you're going through, let's get ready to sing this morning. What you're going through is going to be what helps build a temple for the Lord. What you're coming out may not be dollars and cents, silver or gold, but listen close, it's precious. It's precious. It's irreplaceable. I know from the things that I have gone through myself, they're precious. Hallelujah. And it made me what you see today. Whether you like it or not, I am what I am because of what I went through. Because you're always a product of what you go through. Hallelujah. But I'm here to tell you, you're not coming out with nothing. You're not coming out with nothing. You're not coming out with nothing. If you get the mindset, well, I'm just going to come out. Oh, you got it wrong. I am God's child. I am a son of the King. Hallelujah. I'm a daughter. I'm an inheritance. Hallelujah. Of the one who owns everything. I'm not coming out of this with nothing. You may not like me when it's over with. That doesn't matter. But what does matter, I'm not coming out with zero. I am going to give God the glory for bringing me out. Can you say amen? Woo, why don't we stand to our feet this morning? Hallelujah. As they sing a song to us, just remember, you're not coming out of this with nothing. You're going to come out with great substance. Glory to God. Something you can use to build the house of the Lord.